Good morning, everyone. How's everybody doing? Everybody doing good? Good day, good morning. Hello to Charleston. Let's give Charleston a shout out. It's good to have everybody there. So I'm glad you guys are with us. If you're newer with us over in Charleston, we're one church, two locations. And so we may not be in the same room today, but we're studying God's word together, and we're going to be just growing closer to God together and excited about that. It's October. It's cooling down. It's fall. It's great. It is the first Sunday in October, which means it's shift for us. So shift is our middle school, high school, once a month, just a huge night of activity and in God's word and inspiration. And if you have a middle school or a high school student, it's going to be at the Mattoon location, right here on this stage, and they're going to be learning how to use their own gifts and their talents and their treasures and how God has a purpose for them. And so there's a message that's geared just for them at their age, for age appropriate for middle school and high school. What's it look like to live a life honoring God with everything within you? We're excited about that. So if you have middle school or high school students, invite them and have them come. It's from 6 to 8. So there's a pre-show, and then there's the here on stage, and then afterwards they do all kinds of fun activities, and I pop in every once in a while and eat some food with them, and so it's fun. So I'd encourage you to be a part of that and to come. Also, it is the first of the month, which means today is week one of Growth Track. If you've never been to Growth Track, it happens right after this service at both locations. So come. Check that out and be a part of that if you want to discover who you are and what God's doing in your life and who we are as a church and how we can work together. We would love for you to be a Growth Track. So we're starting a new series called I Want a New Marriage. Now, this does not say I want a new spouse, okay? So that is not the topic of today. It's really about healthy relationships. And to be honest, sometimes we wake up, we're like, we have these dreams of someday I'm going to get married and it's going to be perfect. I'm going to have a white picket fence and we're going to hold hands on the beach and we're going to stroll and love each other and let each other eat off each other's ice cream cones. No, and you know, and there's going to be breakfast in bed and other things in bed and it's going to be awesome. And then, yeah, you got that. And then you wake up one day and go, this is not what I was expecting. Like, what happened to my dreams? And what happened to, I thought this was what it was going to be like. And all of a sudden there's fights and there's stress and there's unmet expectations across the board. And I want us to understand today, whether you're married today, whether divorced today, whether single today, whether remarried today, whether a middle schooler or a high schooler today, I'll be speaking to my own kids because they're in that age group, but whether you're a grandparent investing into your adult kids or your kids who someday will be married, the next 4 weeks we'll really be talking about healthy relationships and what that looks like in the perspective of God's word and how you and I, we can long to have that better marriage. And I understand we're all different in the room and we're all in different seasons of life. And I take that into account knowing that, but I do know we all can be influential in someone's life about relationships and in our own lives about relationships. So it doesn't really matter where we find ourselves today. You will find yourself some point speaking to someone or speaking to yourself about marriage and relationships and trying to work something out and figure something out. So I think no matter who we are in the room today, we're going to see that God's word speaks pretty clear about some just life issues. And we're not afraid to talk about some of the tough issues, because if we're miserable at home and losing sleep over some of these things, God's word is the place to go, not always the break room at work and just trying to find the best advice from a coworker. I really believe that we dive into God's word and say, okay, Lord, how can I get better in this area? So we'll be talking about that. Joy and I got married several years ago, but I can tell you this, it was 36 hours into being married. Okay, we'd been married for 36 hours, and we just had the wedding, and we're heading to our honeymoon, and we're going down to the Smoky Mountains, and we're getting ready to have the cabin, and we're going to be all alone, and it was my honeymoon, and I was excited, you know what I'm talking about? And so we're heading there, and we've been driving to Gatlinburg area, and we're literally like 10 miles away, according to this paper map that we had. Come on, it's 1997. We didn't have GPS. We didn't have cell phones at the time. And so we're driving, and according to the map, we're almost there. We're heading into the mountains. We're heading up the mountains, and we're trying to find our cabin. And all of a sudden, the engine light turns on, and Joy goes, "Pull over." And I said, "No, I'm not going to pull over. Like, we're 10 minutes from the honeymoon cabin. We're not pulling over." And so she's like, no, pull over. It's going to overheat." I'm like, "No, we're not pulling over." And she goes, "You have to pull over." I said, "I am not pulling over. We're almost there." And then she says this. She goes, "My dad says if this light turns on that you have to pull over." She's right here. And I said, "Your dad's not here anymore." I don't think that actually came out of my mouth, but I was totally thinking that. I was like, "Your dad's not here, and you got me now, and I'm driving. We are 10 minutes from honeymoon time," you know? I was like, so we, like 36 hours into being married, we fought, and then we finally get to the cabin where we could make up, and, you know, but... we fight some in marriage, and sometimes we're not on the same page. We literally had to pull over and have that conversation and get on the same page. And we did, like, we talked it out, like, "You know what, if the engines are, let's sit here for 10 minutes. Let's think about this. We can't call anyone because there's no payphone nearby. And we'll just chill out." And then we kept going. And I'm going to tell you, sometimes in life, the engine light of marriage and relationships are on, and we're not willing to, like, stop and go, let's figure this out. Why is the engine light on? Why is there a warning on the dashboard of saying something's not right, something's not going well? And I want us today and the next several, throughout the month to talk about how we can have a better marriage. And so if there's everything inside of us going, "I just want a new marriage," I want that to be a mindset. I want a new marriage mindset. I want a new and improved marriage. I want something that when I see my spouse, that I realize it can be better and there can be health and strength here. And if you're not married today, then you're taking notes, because I can guarantee you there's those in married today in the room is going to say, "Anything you can do now to work better on something in the future, do it." Like, go ahead and listen to these things and take these notes. And so today, specifically, we're going to talk about communication, which obviously affects any area of life. So this will work married or not married, but communication is that foundation of a very strong relationship. And there's a lot of areas of miscommunication in marriages and in life. Schedules. Who's going where? When are you going to be home? Who's going to drop off who? And schedules and miscommunication create a lot of tension. So does money. Like, how much do we have? Where does it go? What did you spend it on? And so that creates a lot of, miscommunication in the area of money can create tension. Even housekeeping and chores and, like, who's doing what around the house and the roles of when I grew up, my mom always did this. Well, when I grew up, my dad always did this, and trying to figure that out. And a lot of times we're off on the miscommunication there. And so we need to figure that out. And then there's the in-laws and the outlaws and all the laws. And we're trying to figure out family and extended family and holiday time. And communication has to be really good there. And then just intimacy and just the personal life of marriage. And when there's miscommunication, it really just can erode a lot of our relationship. So we need to understand one another. In the midst of a pretty deep teaching that Peter teaches the church about husbands and wives, and he goes pretty in depth in this one area in 1 Peter. There's this one sentence I want us to hear today. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7 says, "Treat your wife with understanding as you live together." Now, I really believe, not trying to take this out of context, that we could interchange this with treat your husband with understanding, treat your spouse with understanding as you live together, because there's this sense of we have to understand one another. We have to be on the same page. We have to walk in their shoes and they need to walk in ours so we can understand what life is like from both perspectives. And so when Peter's telling the church, treat your wife with understanding, like we have to interact with one another with deep understanding of where we coming from. So it goes both ways, husbands and wives. And with a new marriage mindset, saying, I want a new marriage, I want to have a new marriage, a new marriage mindset is going to be built on a very strong understanding of one another. We have to understand. So my first story of, you know, Joy saying pull over, her understanding was my dad has always helped take care of the car. He understands the car. He puts gas in the car. He understands all of this. So when she said pull over, my dad said, the understanding was her whole life, dad has been part of the taking care of the car. And I need to understand that because that's her perspective. And so that is like that in all areas of life. We have to understand the other person's perspective. And the only way that we can understand one another is if we communicate with one another. We have to communicate. We have to have good, honest conversations and communications. So I want to paint a picture of the art of effective communication today. Really good communication. And so, listen, I'm no Bob Ross. Bob Ross, you know, I don't have that hair and I can't paint happy trees. But I did this week, as I'm working on the message, I'm like, I do have a picture to show everybody. So I did paint something for you. So that's... I did that on a napkin, this last week at a coffee shop, thinking this is going to be awesome. Like, this is going to change your life. And so I got inspired by the Lord and got the pen out, and that's what I came up with. And so but we're going to talk about the face. Listen, I believe God's given us two eyes and two ears and a nose and a mouth, and all of this has to do with communication, and we're going to walk us through this, through the lenses of God's word, but the core of every healthy relationship has to have healthy communication. And God's given us what we need. He's given us the sensory and the understanding to have good communication in our relationships. But I realize communication can still be difficult. Just because you have ears doesn't mean we know how to use them. Just because we have eyes doesn't mean we always see what we need to see. And so communication is a skill that has to be mastered. It's something we have to work on. It's something that we have to learn and practice it in order to get better in the area of relationships. And so that can be dating, that can be married, that can be all areas of relationship. We got to work on the communication. So let's talk about the ears. So your ears, the Lord's given you two ears and we need to use them. And we need to understand the practice of listening, because I would just say communication starts at listening before communication is about talking. And so listening is just critically important that we need to do this. James, the brother of Jesus, said this in chapter 1, verse 19. Understand this, my dear brothers and sisters. You must all be quick to listen. We need to be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry. But the first thing that we need to do, when he says quick to listen and slow to speak, he's saying the first thing we need to do is listen. We need to listen. Now, Stephen Covey says this. He's a leadership guru, and he says, seek first to, let's take a look at that. Seek first to understand, then to be understood. Now, think about that. If we would seek first to understand the person that we're in relationship with, instead of you better understand me, this is gold. If we can figure this out, then a new marriage mindset is, if I want to get better at my marriage, then I need to first seek to understand. Then I can be understood. But first we got to understand the other person. We have to understand this. And so that takes listening. You and I, we have to be able to tune in our ears and say, it's time to listen better. And I'm not good at that. Like, Joy's in the front row today. She'll tell you, I'm not good at this. So we are working on this. I am working on this. There's a lot of different ways that we listen. So I'm going to explain some of these, and some of you guys are going to get really big elbow jabs into the ribs. When I go over some of these, you're like, that's you. So Joy's too far away, so she can't jab me. But number one is this: distracted listening. So distracted listening, which I might be guilty of from time to time, is when the person seems to be listening to you, but as you're talking, they're listening, but they're So they get on their phone and they're listening and they're texting or they're watching something or have you ever tried to go on a date at Buffalo Wild Wings? Guys, bad idea. Like, don't do it. Don't go. Like, where do we want to go? Well, it's date night. Let's go to Buffalo Wild Wings. That just means they're going to be looking at the TVs more than they're going to be looking at you. So I would encourage you probably not to do Buffalo Wild Wings. Or anywhere where there's TVs or cell phone or electricity or anything like that, okay? Because it's going to be distracting. So, but the distracted listener really does mean well, but we just like get sidetracked. And so the other one is selective listening. Now, this selective listening is a little selfish. I'm only going to listen for what I want to hear. It's kind of a, I have an agenda, I need to hear what, I'm asking you a question, and I only need to know the answer that I'm looking for. And all the other stuff that's coming out of your mouth, rah, 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 I just need to know what I've asked for. And so it is a little bit of selfish, because all you're doing is really focusing on your agenda of, I need to hear this, I will tune in for that, everything else doesn't make sense. That's selective listening. The other one is defensive listening. Sometimes we get defensive when we're listening. In other words, they are talking, the other person is talking, and as you're listening, you're no longer listening to their words. You are framing up a defense on what to say when they're done finally jacking their jaws. And you're just like, just be done because I've got something to say. And you've been thinking about what to say when they've been talking because you've been in the middle of defensive listening. Like you're almost like an attorney ready to, okay, is it my turn now? Whammo. And then you let them know what you're really thinking. And so defensive listening, you actually end up doing more thinking than listening because you yourself are talking to yourself going, this is what I'm going to say about that. I can say something about that and I've got a defense on that. And that's defensive listening is we're preparing as they're talking. Now the fifth one, it starts getting better. Okay. No more elbow jabs is attentive listening. Attentive listening is where you really are zeroed in and you're listening. And what listening teachers would tell you is this is where you repeat back to them what you've heard. And so if we're having a conversation, which I practiced this on Joy yesterday in the kitchen, it didn't go well because she knew what I was doing. She's like, so what I hear you saying is you want me to take the trash out right now, not when the football game's over. But attentive listening is listening and even speaking back what they're saying so you do understand, hey, we are on the same page here. I do understand the heart of what you're saying, and I'm not, nothing's lost in translation because man talk and woman talk is totally different. It can be totally lost in translation. And so attentive listening is eye contact. You're seeking to understand. You're asking them, is this what you really meant by this? That's attentive. And then the last one is empathic listening. And if you're involved in empathic listening, you are literally putting yourself in their shoes. You're saying, I need to understand how you're feeling. I'm listening so I can walk in your shoes and recognize what you're going through. And when you get to the level of you're like, I'm all in and I want to know, I want to feel with you, not for you. I want to feel with you. I want to understand with you. And this is really good listening. This is helping someone calm down and go, it's going to be okay. Just talk to me about what you're facing. And you're like, you're identifying with them and you're right alongside of them. And so these bottom two are very positive. Attentive listening and empathic listening are really good. The other two, instead of empathic, is just pathetic. So you know, we don't do the distracted and the selective and the defensive. These are the things we need to work out of our communication. The bottom two is something we need to work into our communication to be really healthy in building that. Because when you and I, when we understand our spouse or future spouse, when we understand them, then we can understand a future together and we can work through any situation. But we have to get to the place where we're like, I understand you. I understand what you're talking about. So that's the ears. Let's talk about eyes. the eyes. Did you know that 60 to 90% of communication is nonverbal? So we're not using our ears. We actually have to observe nonverbal communication. That's body language, eye contact. You know, that's what all that stuff, you know, fine, you know, how you doing today? Fine. It's really not the word fine. It's how it was said in the body, the body language with it. And so we have to be able to, if you ask your kids something and they say, okay, it's really how they said it. And you have to look at them. And that's why texting and email and Facebook, whatever, you know, it's like, you misunderstand someone a lot. Have you ever been ticked off at someone through a text message and then you realize that's not what they meant? Because you don't know their facial expression. You don't know their body language when they're texting or they're posting or they're emailing. And so eye contact and studying the body language is such a big deal. Now, I don't want to take this out of context, but I want us to see this powerful verse that says we can really communicate in a great way without ever using words. God did that for us. David writes this in the book of Psalms, explaining the heavens proclaim the glory of God and the skies, they display his craftsmanship. Day after day, they continue to speak. Night after night, they make him known. No words. They speak without a sound or a word. Their voice is never heard. Yet their message has gone throughout the earth and their words to all the world. And so David's saying, man, God's creation in itself can help us understand who God is. It's not even words, not Greek, not Hebrew, not English, just the display of creation, the beauty of God, the mountains, the going out on a clear night and looking at the stars and going, wow, God is good. So there's so much communication that can happen that's not out of our mouth, but it's actually observing with our eyes. And it's trying to figure out, you know, if I can go outside and go, man, God is good, just by observing and just by looking, I should be able to spend time with my spouse without using words and go, I know the pulse of the relationship. I know what he or she is really trying to say. And so if we can say, look and see how good God is, then we can say, look and observe what our spouse is thinking. Now, I know it's really, really hard to know what your wife is thinking. Trust me, I know that. It's hard. But we use nonverbal cues. And we have to listen to all the body language and the nonverbal communication. So, guys, I know we like to study her body, but I think it's time to study her body language, okay? Did I just say that in church? I did say that in church. So we need to listen to the language, the body language. We need to use our eyes. Let's talk about the mouth. So God's given us two ears. He's given us two eyes. He's only given us one mouth, thankfully. So let's use it with wisdom. Let's use it sparingly. And let's use it to build up and not to tear down. That James, the brother, Jesus, again, talks about the mouth as such a powerful tool and says even though like the tongue is so small part of the body, it's actually one of the most controlling parts of the body. And then he says it's kind of like a bit in a horse's mouth. That small little bit in a horse's mouth can really direct the direction of this horse. And then he says it's like a rudder on a massive ship, and there's just a small rudder. And he says the rudder on a ship directs, you know, where the boat is going. And so he says, so is the mouth. The mouth gives so much direction. There's so much control. There's so much influence. And so we have to be careful of how we use our mouth, knowing that it is a tremendous power in our words. There's tremendous power in our words. Powers to tear down, powers to build up, power to communicate what needs to be communicated, especially in the context of marriage. It's just so important. By our words, we can develop a beautiful and a prosperous marriage. But also by our words that we can destroy the very gift and the mission God has given us to have a healthy married life. In our words, it's our words. So can I just, as a pastor, just implore, can I encourage you to speak words that are edifying, speak words that build one another up. Paul says this to the church in Ephesus. In Ephesians, he says, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth. So he says the negative stuff, whether that's vulgar, whether that's tearing someone down, whether that's devaluing them, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for what? For building others up. The purpose of the mouth and the words that we have is helpful to build people up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. So when you and I are in conversation through words with anyone, because Paul's not just talking to couples here. This is flat out to anyone in life. That don't let unwholesome talk come out of our mouth, but only what is helpful for building others up. And we have to work at this, because when you're mad and you're angry and the blood pressure's rising and the stress level's up there, things can come out of our mouth. They can fly out of our mouth so quick we can't catch them. We're like, oh, put that back. I shouldn't have said that. But we have to train ourselves to build one another up. We have to do this because Paul is speaking on behalf of a loving God that says this is so important to relationship. This is so important. So not only is he saying get rid of the cursing and the blaming and the accusing and the gossiping and the lying and all of that, he's saying as Christians we should speak truth and life into our partners, into our loved ones, into the people that we do life with. We need to be those who speak life and build them up and don't tear them down. In marriage, the majority of fights would never happen if couples would just speak words that built them up instead of tearing them down. Imagine, I just think of the fights that maybe you've been a part of. Usually it's because someone has said something that's made you mad, or you got offended, or you felt devalued, or you didn't feel like anyone cared, or you didn't feel like, you know, whatever. And it's because those words created that feeling inside of us. But when Paul says, no, build people up, imagine if all we did was build one another up, the fighting would drastically go down. Three phrases that I believe would benefit your marriage is just to work into your vocabulary. And this isn't rocket science. It's just learn how to say, I love you. Like, let that be known. I love you. I value you. Like, sometimes we say we say it by our actions, and even my dad was not one as a dad to say, I love you, but it was, oh, I put meat on the table, I put a roof over your head, and we love you. But sometimes we just need to hear it. And so sometimes you just need to say it. You need to say, I love you. You need to say, thank you. And you need to say, today I'm gonna pray for you. Imagine if that was a regular part of our vocabulary in our relationships. I love you, thank you, and I'm gonna pray for you. And then you actually pray for them. That's not just like, you know, you're not just saying it. Maybe you ask it as a question, how can I pray for you? And I know you have a long day today, I know you got a lot going on today, how can I pray for you? Imagine that relationship. I love you, thank you, and I'm gonna pray for you. And when we build that into who we are as Christian couples, we're loving, we're appreciating and thanking them for what they've done, and we're praying for them, inviting God to come in and build up their life and strengthen them and provide for them. It's so important. So, the mouth should be a marriage builder, not a marriage breaker. And so we have to be really, really careful about our mouth. The words that come out of our mouth can really change the trajectory of our marriage. So we have to be very, very careful about the words that come out of our mouth. So lastly then, let's talk the nose. The nose, now you're like, how in the world does the nose have anything to do with communication? Because I'm gonna do a little play on words here. If you sense something, then trust your gut feeling. In other words, that you and I, we've gotta feel out this idea of discernment in our marriage. We have to be able to discern how healthy is the relationship right now. that we have to be able to boost up the senses and not just go through autopilot and just live like two co-owners under the same roof and there's no sense of real, true communication. A lot of times marriage therapists will say, you can either do life shoulder to shoulder facing the same direction or face to face. And a lot of times when life gets busy, we end up just being shoulder to shoulder as if we are just co-partners of a business. We're just doing this. You got the kids at this time. I got the kids here. We'll pay this bill. We'll take care of this. We'll make sure this is done. I'll call this person about this. And we're just managing the home. And so if we just go into autopilot, we just become managers. And so we have to always have our senses up. Is things okay? Are things going well? There's two ways of discernment. Is number one is really your gut. Like you know your relationship. Has there been changes? Are you guys on the same page? Has your communication been healthy or has it been kind of, you know, been low? Maybe you're not connecting and you sense it. Like, wow, we've not been the same lately. You don't feel like you're really together in this area of communication. And so you have to trust your gut. If you sense it, I would explore it. I'll just say that. If you sense something needs fixed, chances are it does. So you need to explore what is it, get some help, get some direction, and work on that. The second way to discern is asking the Holy Spirit. He gives us the gift of discernment. He will help us understand things that we can't understand in the natural. God gives us wisdom and discernment in all areas of life. So why would we shut him out of marriage? Why do we pray for help in a work situation or whatever, but we're not praying for discernment and wisdom in the relationship that matters so much to us? He knows your spouse more than you do. And so why would we not go to God in prayer and ask him, help me understand why we're fighting about this. Help me understand why he or she is so dead set on this decision. Help me understand. And you're like, Lord, just help me. I can't figure this out on my own. And just happens that he created your spouse. He knows your spouse inside and out. And so you're praying and you're asking the Holy Spirit for guidance. You're asking the Holy Spirit for some counsel. You're asking the Holy Spirit for some wisdom. Wisdom. Wisdom to say, how do I figure this out? James chapter 1 verse 5 says this, if any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. If we are needing wisdom in our marriage and discernment, he says he gives generously. It doesn't run out. God will always be there to give you the wisdom and the direction and the guidance that you need. So I'm asking you, will you ask God to help you with your marriage? Let me ask you this, is what can we improve today? If you're sitting here today, what could I improve? Is it your ears? Maybe you need to be a better listener. And if that's it today, just make a commitment. Today I'm going to start working on being better at listening. I'm always a defensive listener, or I'm always a selective listener, and I need to be an attentive listener. Maybe that's where you're at today. Maybe it's your eyes. You pay no attention to nonverbal cues, and it's time to like observe, not just with your ears, but like understand nonverbal communication and pick up on it and make sure that that's a part of the conversation. Maybe you need to work on your mouth today. What's coming out of your mouth? Is it building up or tearing down? This is spouse, coworkers, kids, life. Ask God to help you control your tongue. Be someone who's building up and not tearing down. Maybe it's your nose, the idea of sensing something. Maybe you need help in discernment. Maybe you just feel like I have no radar out there. I have no idea how things are going. And you need to ask the Lord for wisdom. Like you need to ask the Lord to shine the light on an issue in your life. Say, God, only you can give me some clarity here. And so you're asking the Lord to up your senses. You're asking the Lord to to tune in to what's really happening, and you need some wisdom and direction there. I can tell you this, God wants the best for you. That's why we talk about these things at church, because I know that our Creator, He loves you. Jesus loves you. And this isn't just come in and it's some kind of a marriage class today. This is a God loves you and He wants the best for you and He wants the best for your future, whether you're married or single today. He wants the best for your future. And God wants the best for your kids and your adult kids and your grandkids. So if we can figure this out, communication and marriage and doing it the way God wants us to do it, I believe in us. I believe in you. I believe whatever you're facing, it can get better and it will get better. Some marriages need to go from good to great. Some marriages are in crisis mode. I believe in both. I believe that you guys can get better and no matter what you're facing. And if you have no hope for you, borrow my hope. Borrow my hope, because I know a God who can bring the dead back to life. And if our God can bring the dead back to life, He can work miracles in marriages. He can help you. Borrow my hope. I believe in you guys. I believe that if we work at this and we ask Jesus to come in and we invite Him into our marriages, they'll get stronger. They'll get better. God's capable of improving current and future relationships. Because you know what? When it comes down to it, if you read the Bible from page one to the very end, from cover to cover, everything is about relationships. Everything. It's about relationship with Him and relationship with others. And God's word is helping us in all areas of our relationships with Him and with others. And so today, I want you to improve in marriage. I want you to put some things in your pocket if you're single today going, you know, I need this for my life later. But every one of us in the room, we need to ask ourselves, where are we doing with our relationship with God? Because don't try to fix your marriage if you still have a broken relationship with God. Because I can tell you, the best way to have a healthy home is to have a healthy relationship with Jesus. So I would start there today, is just ask yourself, how am I doing with God? God wants to know you. And He wants you to know Him. He wants that. Your marriage will be better when God is at the center. I guarantee that. I guarantee that. Let's stand here in Charleston. Let's stand and let's stand up and just close your eyes and just begin to focus on what God is speaking to you. Because I believe He's speaking specifically. Eyes, ears, mouth, your senses, your relationship with Him. How is your relationship with Jesus? Today can be the day that you can have a fresh, new relationship with God. God so loves you that He sent His Son Jesus to die for you, that you don't have to perish and live life without Him, but He wants you to come back and have good relationship, and He wants to forgive you of your sin, and He wants, like we've understood that God is always waiting for us. He's just knocking in the door and He's saying, I'm ready, I'm ready, I'm ready. And maybe this is your moment today. That the relationship you most need to work on is the relationship with you and God. God, speak to us. Speak to us today. At all locations, we're going to pray. We're going to pray. Let's pray. Father, You have a word for each and every one of us, and You're prompting us. Help us to know the nudge of the Holy Spirit. Help us to sense that You are moving in our lives. And Lord, some of us have some work to do, and we have some decisions to make, and we have some direction that we need to go, and we need to work on improving some relationships. And I pray, God, give us the boldness to carry it out, not just to walk out of here and think, oh, that was nice. God, help us to walk this out day by day by day, to do better. Help us, Lord, with our relationships with one another, and help us with our relationship with You. If there's anyone in the room right now, God, that feels far from You, help them know You're right here. Help them know they can say yes to You and follow after You with all of their life. Thanks, God, for all that You're doing. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.